I want to talk about, really had on my heart, to talk about the value of tongues and praying in tongues when we come to prayer, praying for revival, praying for the things of God, believing God for things. And what's nice about doing this on a Thursday morning is that I've got the fanatics here. I've got the people who've taken time off work. I've got the people who have invested, the people who want to be here. So we don't need to have a discussion for half an hour this morning on whether tongues is for today. We don't need to have a discussion whether tongues is for everyone. God wants you to speak in tongues. If you don't speak in tongues, come and see us at the end of the service and we will change that. God wants all of us, and so we can leave the basics behind and hopefully push out a little bit into the deep today. Is that okay with you? Good. And so, that's one of the things I love these conferences, because I can sometimes say things that I can't say on a Sunday, because that's not the intended audience for the message. But I want to help every one of you pray in tongues more clearly, more powerfully, and see the benefits of what happens when you spend time praying in tongues more than you've done before. Tongues is vital, to the point where I would stand behind this statement: we will not see revival if we do not pray in tongues. And so we have to understand that. And maybe if you don't believe that today, I'm going to make you a believer by the end of this meeting. You know, that's the nice thing about the conference. I can say things that might upset the Sunday crowd. You know, how about this? You cannot grow spiritually if you're not baptized in the Holy Ghost. If you don't make tongues a habit in your life, you're going to be stagnant. And then tongues is not, well, I got baptized in the Holy Ghost in 1974. Tongues is a relationship with the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, who lives inside you, is alive, is powerful. God himself can speak through your mouth. Man, what's more life-changing and world-changing than God speaking through your mouth? What could be more powerful than that? And like I think Greg touched on it last night, you can't get that one wrong. Every prayer I pray in the flesh, it's filtered through my mind, my preconceptions, my bad theology, my small thinking. But when I pray in tongues, that filter is bypassed. That's why there's so much demonic and fleshly resistance to praying in tongues, because your mind likes having your mouth. It likes, I'll give them a piece of my mind. No one wants a piece of your mind. We want to hear your spirit. We want to hear the love and the joy that's inside you come out. And tongues is just practicing God speaking through you. Man alive. Your greatest power in life is not an experience in the past. It's the present reality that God is inside you right now. That his power and greatness will not go away. He will not leave you. He will not forsake you. His grace is for you. He loves you. And at any moment, any second, of any hour, of any day, you can open your mouth and let him give you words to speak in a language you've never understood, that your mind can't grasp, that the devil can't comprehend, that the world can't get a hold of. And you can speak life, victory, the presence of God. You know, we come to conferences like this, and what tires me out is that people come to conferences like this, get high, and then live the whole year on a low waiting for the next one. That's never God's will. That's never God's plan. The power of God is in you every day of your life, and praying in tongues is the simplest and quickest way of accessing that, relying on that. And so let's look at what Jesus said, and hopefully we can just push a little bit out and get a really good idea of some of the power of praying in tongues. Let's look at John chapter 16. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Awesome. Praise God. John 16. Verse 13. Actually, let's just look at verse 12 for a second. I have many more things to say to you, but you can't bear them. Jesus wanted to tell the disciples some stuff, and they couldn't handle it. There are times when, I mean, Paul said the same to the Corinthians, I'd love to give you some meat, but I can't. You know, I hear a couple of babies in the room. You can't just feed a baby steak and chips. Can't handle it. You've got to feed them baby food until they get to the maturity they can handle the steak and chips. And so sometimes, Amy Semple McPherson, I mean, she was a preacher just when cars were becoming a thing. She said, cars are wonderful, but you wouldn't just put your pedal down on maximum in the middle of a pedestrianized street. You know, sometimes you got, as preachers, we got to hold, but that's one of the reasons why we do these conferences, is so we can actually push a bit. We can feed you some steak and potatoes. Get some stuff into you. But when he comes, who? The Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit. When he comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will guide you into all truth. Now listen. He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, he shall speak. And he will, listen to the promise, he will show you things to come. We have a promise from Jesus Christ that the Holy Spirit himself will show you, not the great prophet, show you things to come. The Holy Spirit wants to reveal the future to you. Things to come is things that haven't happened. That's the future. When you pray in tongues, and you can't microwave this with a sentence in tongues. She'll allow afraid in tongues. No. When you start praying in tongues, and you put the time into it, and your mind stops going to everywhere else it needs to go to, and you discipline your mind. Shut up, mind. This is prayer time. Your mind's like, you're making it up. No, I'm really not making it up. You're cursing God in Chinese. No, that's definitely not true. Have you left the cooker on? I don't care if the house burns down. I'm praying in tongues. You know, your mind will do anything. It'll go anywhere to stop you. And so when you get that place where your mind is now subdued, your spirit is speaking, under that anointing, under that movement, you start to get an idea of what you're praying for. You start to grasp what's coming out of your mouth. Maybe not the exact wording, but you start to get images and pictures, impressions, feelings. And some of those are things to come. God wants to show you the future. And one of the ways he does it is as we start to learn to listen to the Spirit through praying in tongues. You know, one of humanity's greatest desires is to know the future. So much fiction is about people who can know the future or change the future or change the past. You know, go back to the future and you get the sports almanac and you know what race is, who's going to win what race. Or, you know, imagine going back in time and buying stocks in Apple and Microsoft and Google and whatever. But the truth is, if you could know the future, you'd be an amazing businessman. If you could tell the future, what if you were about to join a church? Wouldn't it be nice to know the future? What if you're about to get married soon? Wouldn't it be nice to know the future? What if you're about to start a ministry? Wouldn't it be nice to know the future? What if you are here because you want to heal the nations? Wouldn't being able to know the future help? It's one of the greatest powers in the universe. And I'm not talking about if you pray in tongues, you're going to get the lottery numbers, by the way. God isn't playing the lottery, do you know that? And he doesn't want you to get rich quick. He wants you to get rich little by little and take the land. Most lottery winners do not stay rich. The average lottery winner in this country within 2 years is poorer than he started. But God will show you the future. He'll tell you which stocks to buy. He'll warn you about a dodgy business deal. He'll walk you out of trouble. He'll tell you what to start, what not to start, who to start with, when to move on, when not to move on. He'll tell you these things. But we have to get to the place where we listen. How do we get to that place? Praying in tongues. Praying in tongues, praying in tongues, and he will show you things to come. He will show you the future if you can learn about the Holy Spirit. Now, what's that got to do with this conference? What's that got to do with me praying and believing for this nation to change, for revival? Absolutely everything. Absolutely everything. Number one, it means I can see what to do to advance the kingdom. How many of you know some things are good, but they don't advance the kingdom? This conference did not come about because I had an idea to have a conference. It came apart because I was fasting and praying in tongues. God told me, heal the nations. That was his name for this conference, never my name for the conference. I thought it was quite a grandiose name, to be honest. Heal the nations. No, this is what God wants. And in that presence of God, in that prayer time, in that praying in tongues, 5 churches, gates of the city. I can't tell you everything I can see right now, but I know what this conference looks like in 10 years time, and it looks very good. It looks very good, I tell you. Sheila la Moson did it day. Oh, the power of praying in tongues, the power. Sometimes my timing's off. I'll see something, I think that'll be tomorrow then. No, it's not tomorrow. It's a long tomorrow, man. This is the way to strategize. James 1 verse 5 says, if anyone lacks wisdom, I mean, they wrote a verse in the Bible all about me.
Does anyone lack wisdom? Yes, that's my verse. Let him ask the Lord, and he'll give him wisdom generously and without reproach.
Generously, more wisdom than you need and without reproach. Not, oh, it's you again. Yeah, we know you need wisdom. We've been watching.
You know, the faster you move forward, the more dangerous things are.
Some of you have seen the car adverts. You know, if you hit me at 30, I'm going to live. If you hit me at 40, I'm going to die. I always thought it was a strange advert. Just don't hit her.
But I want this church to move forward quicker. I want to advance quicker. I want to seize the kingdom quicker. But you know, that means that we need more guidance. A little thing can become a huge thing if you're going at a fast speed. A little problem. If you're this much off course, it doesn't matter if we're going slowly. We can just, if you're going quickly, a little much, suddenly, boom, we're miles off course. So we have to be people who can pray in tongues, who can hear what God's saying about the future. God will lead you to the right people to promote you to the right place. It's amazing. I mean, April, God woke me up and you need to go to Lawson Purdue's pastor's conference. I was like, I don't want to take another trip to America right now. I don't have the time. The church doesn't have the funds. No, you must go. And me and Lee went, and God opened up so much for us, gave us so much wisdom. God knows tongues help bring that to pass. Tongues help bring this conference to pass. It's amazing. So much of what you see advancing the kingdom, you go back and there's someone praying in tongues, praying in tongues, praying in tongues, until they hear what the Spirit says, until they tune into what the Spirit's doing. And God will give you a promotion in your career. God will give you promotion in your life. Not just can we advance the kingdom, we can fund the kingdom through praying in tongues. Man, you know the kingdom must advance, but the more you advance, the more you need a supply line. So many military battles have been lost in history because of lack of supplies. But if you can see the future, you know where to invest your money. You know where to work, where to get a job, what training to get. Well, there's office politics. Well, you can outmaneuver every office politician in your office if you can tell the future. Instead of playing politics yourself, why don't you act like you're light and not darkness? Get into the office an hour early one morning and just pray in tongues and just believe that God is going to promote you, that God, promotion comes from the Lord. Remember, the king of Syria tried to outmaneuver the king of Israel time after time, but Elisha just kept telling them where the ambushes were. God will tell you where the ambushes are. God will tell you where the traps are. God will tell you, don't step that way, step that way. They're right here. Now you move forward. Now don't do that. He'll lead you and guide you. But that kind of sensitivity to his leading and guiding, because he doesn't yell at you. You know, remember the last time you watched something on TV you shouldn't have watched? Now, don't put your hands up. You're sitting there, you know, couch potato mode, and it just gets a bit sexual or a bit gory, and you think, I shouldn't be watching this. Have you ever known the Holy Spirit slap you in the face? Grab that remote control? You moron, let me turn this over. Let's find out what channel Terry Savelle's on. There, watch that. Has God ever done that to anyone? No, it's the lightest of impressions. It's your conscience going, this is not the way forward. And God will speak to you so gently, so quietly, that we need to be still. We need to subdue our mind so we can do that. But praise God, he's given us a way to subdue our mind. And the more I'm praying in tongues, the more my mind's going, I'd like to speak now. No. That's not always good news. You just shut your mouth and we're just praying in tongues. Let the Spirit flow. And then when I speak, I'm used to it coming from the Spirit, out of my belly, right out of my mouth. And I can prophesy. I can preach under the anointing. I can encourage people. I can be inspirational. Why? Because I've trained myself. How did I train myself? When you guys weren't looking, when you guys were still sleeping, there was me pacing the floor. Paul turned to the Corinthian church. He said, I thank my God. I pray in tongues more than all of you. And look what that man built with his ministry. Man alive, Jesus, give us wisdom. Help us. God wants you wealthy. Man, can you imagine hiring people for your business And you already know who's going to walk in the door before they walk in the door. You already know they're going to be there before they walk through the door. You already know who not to hire and who to hire before you've even done the interviews. You think God can't do that for you? Of course He can. When He comes, He will show you things to come. And the other wonderful thing about this is it shows you how to repair the kingdom. You know, the kingdom of God is like a net catching a harvest, catching a fish, school of fish. But you know, like nets in real life, sometimes the net tears. Have you noticed that? Sometimes we lose people. Sometimes someone gets hurt. Someone's arm a bit ripped off. You're all looking at me like that's never happened in any church you've ever gone to in your life. Okay, well, in my experience, this has happened sometimes. People have got offended and got annoyed and ripped themselves apart from what they should have been tied into. Now, but when we pray in tongues, you know, at the very basic level, you're just praying in tongues. Someone comes to mind. You know, so I'm just praying in tongues. Suddenly I start thinking of Richard, for example. No, there's no normal reason for me to think of Richard on a Thursday morning. Really? I'm just thinking, you know, don't dismiss that. If it didn't come from your mind, it must have come from your spirit. Don't just, okay, I'm going to pray for Richard now. I'm going to believe for Richard. I'm going to believe for the best for him. Maybe God will be even more specific. Maybe He won't. Maybe I'll just pray in tongues. Maybe God does. Maybe the issues are none of my business. But God's given me a way. I can pray for Richard. I can pray for any of you. In fact, I can pray for people I don't even know without ever knowing what the problem is, without God ever exposing anything. God can still treat them with dignity, love, and respect. I can still pray for them. Man, that's awesome. This is a wonderful gift. You know, this is real power. The Holy Spirit will show you things to come. And if you study revivals, I was about to say, I'm sure Greg will agree with me, but every time someone gets in the pulpit and says, I'm sure Ben will agree with me, I'm like, what are they going to say next? So I'll just, Greg may or may not agree, and I don't mind either way. Most revivals end because of broken relationships. They end, and I don't have time to show you that from history, but even in the atmosphere of the glory of God, even in the atmosphere of signs and wonders and salvations and great glorious advance of the kingdom, people get offended. Relationships get broken, and people take their eyes off Jesus, and then, well, did you know what He said? What's His opinion on that? What's His opinion on that? A friend of mine, I just realized I got a room full of South Africans. A friend of mine went to Bible school in South Africa many years ago. And he quit the Bible school after in the middle of the first year. And he went on to have one of the greatest prophetic ministries I've ever encountered in my life. And I said to him, I said, why did you walk out of Bible school halfway through? He said, every lesson we learned, we came and said, at the end of that lesson, we're asked, well, what does Ray McCauley think of that? And what does Ed Roberg think of that? And every time, but he said, I just don't care what everyone else, what does the word say? What does God, and just, who cares about, you know, we get to the stage where we take our eyes off the prize so easily as Christians. Oh, we get upset at the world for their sporting idols, but we make our own idols. Pray in tongues. God will give you a sense of what will come. And you don't have to just pray about what's happening now. You can pray about what's happening tomorrow and the next day, 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road. Praying in the Spirit, you can head some of these things off before they even happen. You can stop problems before they even happen. Let's look at 1 Corinthians. Let's look at what Paul says about praying in tongues. I hope you're getting your tongues ready, because this lesson's going to end in a practical. Proverbs, 1 Corinthians 14, pursue love. There's a good thing to do. Go after love. Love is so important. Desire spiritual gifts. Desire earnestly spiritual gifts. Notice the Bible does not leave us in a position where we can be neutral about the gifts. It doesn't leave us in a position where we can come to a meeting and go, well, if the gifts happen, they happen. If they don't, they don't. You never know what God's going to do. No, you desire the gifts. I want to see someone healed today. I want to hear a word of knowledge today. I want to prophesy over someone and encourage them today. Well, that's okay for you. You're the pastor. No, no, no. This is talking to the whole church. Or is it just me that has to pursue love?
Pursue love. Desire spiritual gifts. Desire earnestly, especially when you may prophesy. For one who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. So when I speak in tongues, who am I speaking to? God. So it doesn't matter if you don't get it. It doesn't matter if I don't get it. I'm not speaking to me. God gets it. Every time I speak in tongues, God gets it. He understands, he hears, he answers. I may never even see that answer, or the answer may happen right in front of my eyes, and I have no idea it was the answer to my prayer. Either way, it doesn't matter. God gets it. I've prayed in tongues, but I remember one time praying in tongues, and I just had a sense someone was in danger. So my first question, is it Amanda? No, it's not Amanda. Is it Adam? Is it Joe? Is it Daniel? I don't think Lydia was born then. No, no, no. And I just kept praying. And I just felt it was someone I knew from old times, you know, not someone I knew now. And I just kept praying. And I prayed to the point I knew that person was fine. I had peace in my heart. That's fine. You know what I did when I had peace? I just stopped praying. You know? I just relaxed. Someone called me a couple hours later, such and such a friend you used to know, yeah? They were rushed to hospital. I said, they're fine. I said, what? I said, they're fine. I know they're fine. God told me beforehand. God will reveal things to you before they happen. It's not just the initial evidence. It's the present reality. It's the powerful force that today you can speak mysteries to God, things you could never hope to know without the presence of God. I remember one night I was watching the news when we were living in Wales. There was a girl beaten up in a park, young girl, beaten into a coma. The doctor said, we don't think she'll last the night. I said, Amanda, I've got to pray for that girl. I'd watched other news stories, never had the same feeling. But you learn to be sensitive to the Spirit. And that was about 10 o'clock at night. I prayed till about 2 in the morning. 3 or 4 hours in tongues, just praying in tongues. I don't know how to pray for her. I'm no medic. I'm no brain surgeon. I don't know how to pray. I just prayed in tongues. That's all I had. But 2 in the morning, I felt this overwhelming sense of peace. So I went straight to bed. I'm not stupid. I had work in the morning. I get up about 5:30 the next morning, and I'm turning the telly on. Not to see them, just to keep myself awake while I'm getting ready, you know. And there was a doctor. The first thing I saw was a doctor on the local news station. And he said, we have no other way to describe what happened to this girl but a miracle. But she's opened her eyes, she's talking, she's come around. Now, I wasn't the only one praying, I don't believe that. But I was part of that. And God wants you to be part of some of the things you see on the news, some of the things you see happen. A few weeks later, the local newspaper, we caught the guy. And Amanda, we don't buy the newspaper. Amanda bought the newspaper. I said, look, they caught the guy. I looked at the paper. I said, that's not the guy. Now, what do you do at that point? I don't want to phone the police. How are you so confident that's not the guy? Where were you on the night of? I prayed in tongues. 2 weeks later, that wasn't the guy. We've caught the guy. Saw the paper. That's the guy. God wants us to be involved in these things. Not all of them. You try and take that on for every person who's beat up, you're going to be, you know, you try and take this on in your strength, you'll fail. But as the Lord leads, how do you know what he leads? Pray in tongues. Believe. Start to listen to the Spirit of God. This is, you know, I'm not saying that has to happen every day of your life. I'm not saying that, you know. I don't want to become the church where we have 5 angel visitations before breakfast. But I'm saying this is part of our inheritance. And we're witnesses, and as part of being witnesses, we should witness some stuff. And if you're not witnessing enough stuff for you to feel like a witness, start praying in tongues more. The greatest adventure of revived, alive Christianity, and again, like Greg said last night, call it what you like, you know, normal Christianity. The word revival means to bring to life that which is dead. Well, what's the Christians in the church doing dead in the first place? You know, this should be life. This should be how we live. But the church is so far from God's plan and design that we've had to invent a word, revival, to call what normal church should be. Well, that's insane. But it is what it is. But if you want to live that revived life, the greatest adventure of your life is only just beginning. This is not boring. Living the worldly life is boring.
The greatest things in your walk to God are still to come. And I tell you, the greatest things that happen in your walk with God will happen because of praying in tongues. Now, I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit's there when you get born again. The Holy Spirit's there when you get baptized in the Holy Spirit. But there is a dimension of fellowship with Him, communion, freedom, information, love, a depth that will only come when we learn to yield our mouth to Him and let Him speak through us. Some of you know that last year I saw a blind boy healed in Bulgaria. What you might not know is, I don't know how many of you know the full story, but I prayed for that boy and nothing happened. But I was just so, I wasn't going to leave with no testimony. I prayed a second time, nothing happened. I mean, these were good prayers. These were authoritative prayers. They were faith. You in the name of Jah, take it. I mean, they sounded awesome. They even sounded good in Bulgarian when the translator translated them, man. Slavana Boga. And it was just awesome, and nothing happened a second time. So what did I do? I prayed in tongues. As I started praying in tongues, I saw. And you can all look at me like I'm crazy. I don't care. I went back to Bulgaria a few weeks ago, and that boy's still seeing. I could tell it wasn't the eye, it was the optic nerve. It was like I had X-ray vision for a minute. And I could see that's where the problem was. So I didn't speak to the eye, I spoke to the nerve. And within 30 seconds of that prayer, that boy could see fine. I went down the rest of the prayer line, prayed for everyone else who was. Prayer line suddenly got a bit longer. And when I got to the end of it, there were still adults in the church covering the boy's eye and holding up fingers. And it was just awesome. But the praying in tongues was there. That would never have happened without praying in tongues. Never. Never. Tree of Life wouldn't exist without praying in tongues. Man. I remember, again, some of you heard this story, but you maybe don't know that tongues was such a part of it. I went to preach many years ago in Assemblies of God Church. I used to do a healing circuit of different Assemblies of God churches in the north of the country. And the pastor, a friend of mine, I knew him, I'd preached there many times. He said, there's a guy in our church who's just been healed of lung cancer. And can he share his testimony before you preach? Is that okay? I was like, is it okay? I want to hear it. I want to hear the story. I was like, it sounds good. And just before this, two songs into the worship, I just felt to pray in tongues for this guy with a testimony. I'm like, but he's been healed. Why do you want me to pray in tongues for someone who's been healed? You see, your mind is always trying to find a way to talk you out of doing spiritual things. Don't pray. Just worship God. Hallelujah. You know, and it's not a good look for a visiting speaker. If everyone else has got their hands in the air worship and you're like this, you know, like, oh, he's not worshiping, he's not entering in. Oh, he's just come to do his thing. No, but I just sat down and I'm praying. I'm shut up, and you can't pray out loud because, you know, I'm surrounded by people. I'm just praying and really something's going on. And then he gets up to share his testimony. Just as he walks up to share his testimony, he stands there. I see a picture in my mind. And again, the lightest of impressions. It wasn't an open vision. I didn't hear an audible voice. It was like Moses, nothing like that. Just here it was. And I saw myself walk up to him. And I put my fingers in his ears in this little picture in my mind, this little drama in my mind. And I yelled in his face. I said, be healed! I thought, that's a weird picture. I'm trying to think why I ate this morning. I've had pizza for breakfast on a Sunday. Am I just going crazy? And I just kept seeing this picture over and over. And so he got up and he shared his testimony. He was at a meeting in London. In fact, it was a Benny Hinn meeting. And during the worship at this meeting, the doctors had given him 2 months left to live. He was going to die of cancer. He had a tumor in his lungs. And he felt this warmth, this heat. And he was completely healed of cancer at that meeting. Nobody prayed for him. Nobody touched him. Just worshiping the Lord, completely healed of cancer. In fact, his doctor was in the meeting that night at church because the doctor wanted to know what was going on. And he finished his whole testimony. He said, I've been completely healed of terminal cancer. But why I'm still deaf, I'll never know. And as he said that, I just thought, ha ha! I jumped to my feet. I put my fingers in his ears. I yelled in his face, be healed! You know, when you start a healing meeting, seeing a deaf man healed, you've got a good healing meeting going on. Shilala mo sondara day. O katara mo sondara day. Man, I love the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I love watching someone get filled with the Spirit, speaking in tongues. But let's follow up that initial evidence with a lifetime of adventure. Let's become those who operate in this realm. That's why we're not here on a Sunday morning, so we can go a bit deeper. So I'm going to share some things with you. Paul was an advocate of speaking in tongues. And when I speak in tongues, I speak to God. Now, there is such a thing as a message in tongues to the church. I don't want to talk about that today, so I'm not going to. When I pray, I'm speaking to God. That's the Acts 2. They heard them praising God. That's us praying in tongues. We're not talking about message. We're talking about speaking to God. That's why I'm in Acts 10. They heard them glorifying and magnifying God. When I speak in tongues in the Spirit, I'm speaking mysteries. This is a superpower that you have. Take advantage of it. Learn to speak these mysteries. Is this power important or necessary? Well, God wouldn't have given it to us if it wasn't. Why are you trying to live your life without this ability? Man alive, how anybody wants to... Oh, Jesus. Moffat says when you speak in tongues, you speak divine secrets. Divine secrets. Now, why is tongues so hard for some of us? Well, just skip down to verse 14, 1 Corinthians 14:14. When I speak in tongues, my spirit prays. I'm praying in the Spirit. Oh, it's amazing how many of us have made up our own version of what praying in the Spirit means. When Paul tells us, when I pray in the Spirit, when my spirit prays, I'm praying in tongues. Praying in the Spirit is praying in tongues, it's praying in the Spirit is praying in tongues. But when I pray in the Spirit, when I'm praying in tongues, my mind is not fruitful. It's not involved. Now, I'm not anti your mind. I think everyone should use their mind, develop their mind. One of the cultural maxims of Tree of Life Church is we're all lifelong learners. We should all be learning our whole life. But there are many things your mind cannot do. You know, I'm not anti-hands. Hands are awesome. You can pick things up. You can write. You can draw. You can do all sorts of things. You can open doors. But use your feet for walking. Hands are not meant for walking. I'm not anti your mind. You can do some wonderful sums in your mind. You can balance your accounts with your mind. You can dream wonderful things with your mind. You can decide whether to cross the road or not cross the road with your mind. Well, that car's coming too quickly. I'll just stay here for a little bit. But when it comes to flowing in the Spirit, your mind just gets in the way. When it comes to the prophetic gifts, your mind gets in the way. You start to prophesy over someone, especially someone you might know. You know, this is going to happen, this is going to happen. And your mind's going, yeah, right. This is the carpenter's son. What are you talking about? But when you learn to pray in tongues, you practice telling your mind to shut up. You say, mind, it's okay that right now you're doing nothing. Because I've got a spirit too. I'm not just a mind and body. I'm spirit, soul, and body. My spirit prays. Notice the Holy Spirit's not the one praying. My spirit prays. Now, he gives me the words. I don't have the words. I don't know that language. He gives me the words, but I'm the one praying them. I'm the one praying in tongues, and my mind doesn't get it. And most people, most charismatics, most word faith people, most grace people are still too mind-led. One of the greatest things that will kill any move of the Spirit is trying to grasp what God says and does in the Spirit with our minds. We need to learn to shut our minds up. One of the greatest ways to shut your mind up, speak in tongues, pray in tongues. Last Sunday, I had a prophetic word for someone who was worried about their younger brother. Some of you may have been there. And, you know, and when that word came to me, the youngerness of the brother was really strong when the Lord was speaking to me. And I remember having a chat with Chris about it afterwards, Chris Fidel. I come from a culture where younger, oh, it doesn't really matter. Just brother. You know, but both people who responded to that prophetic word were both people who came from cultures where the order of succession matters very much. God spoke to me in a way they understood through me. Does that make sense? Didn't make much sense to me, but made sense to them. Spoke to the young lady yesterday, one of the ones who stood up. And her brother's going to come to church on Sunday. And I know that situation. I know that that is a miracle. Now, if you remember Sunday, it probably didn't feel like as long for you as it did for me. But I got up and gave that word, and nobody stood up. And your mind is like, boo! Your whole church is going to think you're stupid, Pastor. And your mind just wants to do whatever it wants. But you see, I've trained my mind to shut up through praying in tongues. So I just knew how long to wait. I knew how long to stand. And eventually not one, but two people responded. And they got powerfully released in the service. You see, we're too cerebral. Well, what good is tongues if my mind doesn't get it? It's so much good because it's a spiritual thing. We're talking to God and speaking mysteries. I'm praying in the Spirit. Ephesians 6:18 says, pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Pray always, all the time. Pray in tongues. Watch, look. Paul later on says, I pray for all the saints in the Spirit. Well, of course, if you're going to pray for all the saints, you need to pray in tongues. I can't pray for all the saints with my mind. I don't know all the saints. I don't know what they're going through. I don't know what people in my own church are going through. Sometimes my own elders and pastors go through stuff and I don't even find out. But I can still pray for them. Because I can pray in the Spirit. This is so powerful. Do you understand how powerful this is? I believe that if we all devoted ourselves to praying in tongues, some of the problems in our church, in Tree of Life, and in all the different churches, some of the problems across our network, and there's not huge problems, I'm not saying this, but some of the problems that we have to face and fight, they'd just be, it's the wrong word, but I don't have a better word, they'd be magically solved. They'd just go. So how did that suddenly change? Well, what you didn't know was that this morning, Paul got up and prayed in tongues for half an hour, and that dealt with that. And then Sarah got up and prayed in tongues, and that dealt with that. And Richard prayed in tongues. And God took all of those, weaved them together, and answered the whole problem before we were even smart enough to know to pray about it. If we limit prayer to just our puny little minds, we are limiting prayer so much. To what I can work out what to pray for. I don't even know how to ask. I ask and ask amiss. Paul prayed in 1 Corinthians 15. He says, I pray with my spirit and I pray with my mind. So I pray in tongues and then I pray in, well, not for Paul, Greek, but for me, English. I pray in the language I know. I pray in the language my mind appreciates. I pray in a language my mind goes, oh, I know that language. I can do that. But notice the order. He prayed in tongues first. Before he let his mind loose on the prayer, he let his spirit speak first. Sheila, you speak in tongues first. And then when you've done that and you've dominated your mind, then you can pray in English. I tell you, every time those prayers in English will be better. Every time. Either you're grasping what you're praying in tongues, you're interpreting the tongues, you might not even realize you're interpreting the tongues because it's a prayer and you're praying a prayer. Or you're just praying beforehand that your prayers will be full of wisdom and love, and then when you pray in English, you get it right. How did I get that prayer right? Because you prayed beforehand to get it right. You didn't even know. Either way, it's a better way of praying. My children love a restaurant called TGI Fridays. I mean, they just love that place. Man, they just love that place. Where are my children? Are they all in the Sunday school? Oh, Adam's at the back there. I got one there. Joe's on the camera. Hey! Man. And so, birthdays, so on. Where are we going to go? We're going up to TGI Fridays. And, you know, I am not under a poverty mindset. You don't need to pray for me for deliverance. I do not mind paying £100 or more for a meal for my family. Not in the slightest. That's fine. But when I walk out of TGI Fridays, my belly starts to speak to me. Has anyone had their belly speak to them before? My belly starts to speak to me. My belly goes, you just paid over £100 for the whole family. It was only burger and chips. That's all it was. You could have gone to McDonald's. I'm just telling you how my stomach works, okay? But it feels a bit cheated. I think if some of us could hear our spirit clearly, we'd come away from a lot of our prayer times where we're trying to pray our lists and pray this way and pray that way and pray, make sure we understand every prayer. And our spirit's like, that's not enough. You just spent an hour in prayer and it was only at a head level. I could have got involved in this. I could have helped you flow in this. I could have. Your spirit wants to communicate with God. Your spirit wants to flow out of your mouth and pray for mysteries. It wants to pray for the problems of the people in the church you don't even know they've got. It wants to pray for saints you don't even know exist. And yet you've still got Christians who think this died out with the apostles. And I wrote this in my notes. I wrote my notes 3 days ago. What did I say we are? Where is it? There. What's the problem? There, right there. Here, this bit, nice and loud. We're roaring with one oar. We're roaring with one oar. If we do not allow the dimension of the Spirit, we're roaring with one oar. I'm not even going to explain that analogy. You heard that too well last night. We need to pray with the Spirit and pray with the understanding. Then we can go somewhere. Man. And I also wrote in my notes that one of the great things about praying in tongues is it stops us being selfish in prayer. Because our minds are selfish minds, have you noticed? And some of it's because we're selfish, and some of it's just because we're human beings. How can I pray? How can I pray for the saints I don't know if I don't know them? But when I pray in the Spirit, I'm praying about things bigger than me, further than what I know. Did you know you can pray a selfish, carnal, against the will of God prayer, still get it answered? If you don't believe me, what do you think the Israelites did when they prayed for a king? God said, well, if that's what you want, you can have it. Anyone who's a parent's been there, fine. If that's what you want for your birthday, fine, they have it. What did you give me this for? You asked for it. It's rubbish. I know. I knew before I bought it was rubbish. You just wouldn't shut up. I don't have time to go down that line. I want to spend a little bit of time praying before we finish. In Acts chapter 10, it says, when they prayed in tongues, they magnified God. I always found that strange language when I was a young Christian. How can you make God bigger? That's what magnify means. And actually, magnify doesn't make something bigger, does it? If I look at something and magnify, I'm not making it bigger. I'm making my picture, my image of it bigger. And it's not that God needs to be bigger. He can't get any bigger. It's your picture of God needs to be bigger, because most of us are scared of sickness still, scared of poverty still, scared of all sorts of Goliaths, because our God is tiny. Not that God's tiny, but your picture of God is tiny. And when something comes, if you understood how big God was and how much he was in love with you, you wouldn't worry another second in your life about anything. Tongues makes you aware of the presence of the Holy Spirit. Tongues, you know God's always with you, don't you? You know, I think we've got that far in the church. You know, I think most of us are there. But let's admit, it doesn't always feel that way, does it? Doesn't always feel that way. But when you're praying in tongues, you can't forget he's there. People come in and say, I prayed in tongues, I felt the presence. Well, yeah, because you focused on it. You remembered he was there. Tongues brings refreshing. Tongues helps you worship. Tongues is the best way to say thank you to God. Look at the scripture. You're right there. Verse 16. Otherwise, if you bless in the Spirit only, how will the one who fills the place of the ungifted say the amen at your giving of thanks, since he doesn't know what you're saying? So Paul's saying, if you want to give thanks for something, speak English. You know, speaking a lot. If you're going to give a testimony, make it something we can understand. I want to be able to say amen to your testimony. Don't get up and say, let me tell you about the good thing God did for me last Thursday. Don't do that. But listen to what he says. But if you give thanks in tongues, he says, verse 17, for you are giving thanks well enough. So although it's wrong to do it in public, it's still good giving thanks. Paul says praying in tongues is you are giving thanks well. So, you know, when you come to church to give your testimony, get it in English. But before you come to church, when it's just you, God, I want to thank you for this. I don't have the words to say thank you, but you gave me the words. Hey, just thank God. Am I stretching your minds a bit? Am I hoping to take you somewhere you might not have been before? Hope you understand how important this is, how wonderful this is. You know, tongues is the best way to tame your tongue. Didn't James say the tongue is full of evil? No man can tame it? Well, praise God, you've got the Holy Spirit inside you, and he's not a man. The unruly evil, the deadly poison, the hardest organ in your body to control is not your sex organ. It's your tongue. You know, some people just spend their whole life running other people down. They'll tell you what every sin every preacher's ever committed. You know that preacher did? You know, listen, putting out someone else's candle never makes yours shine better. You can really hurt people with your tongue, but if you pray in tongues, you yield your tongue to the Spirit, you can start being an encourager. And tongues is the gateway to all the gifts of the Spirit. All the gifts of the Spirit start in the Spirit. There's a clue there in the name. They flow through your mind into this realm. Prophecy, healings, miracles. The more you pray in tongues, the more you can flow with the Holy Spirit and he gives you a word of prophecy. Because the more you've trained your mind, this is spiritual stuff, mind you, just shut up. I don't want you to add your tuppence worth at the end of this prophecy. I've seen a lot of people give good prophecies and then they add their own tuppence worth in and think that's God too. No, you need to learn how to shut your mouth at the end of that prophecy. Praying in tongues opens the door to all the gifts, and we need a supernatural church. Let me say this, and I'm trying to say things very quickly here. Tongues do not open the door to a fruitful spiritual life, to a life of more love, joy, peace, patience. Have you noticed that most Pentecostal Christians don't behave that much better than most non-Pentecostal Christians? Maybe you've realized that. We need to grow in Christ. That's a whole different sermon. That's through the word and through faith and through discipline. Corinthians proves you can have all the gifts and still be a bunch of babies. But just because this is not the way we grow does not mean it's not important. It's how we flow in the Spirit. And so we need to pray in tongues to flow in the Spirit. We need to earnestly covet the best gifts, 1 Corinthians 12:31. Not just, oh, if I get them, I get them. No, you need to say, Lord, I want some good gifts here. I want to heal the sick. Are you with me here? You want to heal the sick? I want to work some miracles. I want some words of knowledge that nobody can say, oh, that's just you cold reading. Oh, I sense there's someone in the room whose name begins with J. And they've eaten cheese this week. You know, if you can't do better than Mystic Meg, shh. You know, I dream of that power. Earnestly desire. I'm hoping that now you realize this is vital. And I've left what I think is one of the most important things is what Jude said, that praying in the Spirit builds up your faith. That's what I'm going to talk about on Saturday in my session there. But right now, oh, you know, we haven't scratched the surface yet. So let's stand to our feet. Let's stand to our feet. I told you we're going to end with a practical. Now, what I want to do is when I say go, I want us all to start praying in tongues. But as you pray, I want you to earnestly desire the better gifts, the best gifts. I want you to dream of the gifts. I want you to dream of the revival we're going to have. Dream of the salvations, the miracles. Dream of you being strong in the Spirit. I want you to start to tune into the Holy Spirit as you pray right now. Maybe some of you are going to see a picture of your own future. He'll show you what's to come. Maybe some of you might start to understand a mystery that you haven't been able to understand before. Oh, that's why that happened. Oh, that's how to get there. Maybe you'll start to get a prophecy. Maybe you'll just start to realize God is real and God's in your situation and God loves you. But whatever happens right now, you're not going to be the same. This isn't just an exercise today. This is an encounter with God. You're about to yield your tongue, your mouth, to the creator of the universe. The God who made heaven and earth, all powerful, El Shaddai. And he's going to speak words through you that are going to heal nations. And so why do you think you're going to be unchanged by that experience? So here we go. 3, 2, 1, go. Oh, la 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 Literally, I set my watch. We've prayed in tongues for 5 minutes exactly. If that seemed like a long time to you, and a 2.5-hour film about a boy bitten by a nuclear spider seems short, there's something you need to work on there. 5 minutes. But it may not have happened to anyone, the sliver of time that we gave, just to train, just to practice. But did anyone feel, I got a picture of my future there. I got something for my destiny touched me there. Just put your hand up. Just let me see. I want to see people. That's awesome. Praise God. Praise God. That's awesome. That's all. What about, I got a mystery. God, just help me see something I didn't see before. Okay. Wonderful. Praise God. Praise God. Did somebody get a prophetic word, maybe? Awesome. Praise God. Did someone say, I felt God? Someone say, I felt God when I did that? That's awesome. Praise God. Now, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands because I'm going to tell you, you are not going to be the same again. You have been changed, whether you felt it or not. This has changed you. This is helping us step. This is just a little step forward. And so we're going to take a break now. Shane, did you feel your word was for all of us? No.